Noach, Noach is starting Tamim Ahoyah B'day Reisav. Usually when it says Eila, it comes to be Mamayah something. These and not others. So what is Eila over here coming to be Mamayah? So Rabbi Yonasan Aivshitz and Teferis Yonasan says that over here Eila is coming to be Mamayah, that these only were Yoytzeh Halotzeh and nobody else. Means he had children, his only children were Shem, Ham, and Yafes, he had no other children. What's that coming to tell us? Not like Avraham Avinu. By Avraham Avinu, he had many children, the many Gerim, that it was Machnas Tachas Kanfei Hashchin. Right? It says, Anefesh Asher Osu B'choron. They were Machnas and Tachas Kanfei Hashchin, so that's considered somebody on Lamed Ben Chaver, Torah Kili Bodoi. Over there, they were Machnas and Tachas Hashchin, so they were considered their children. So, Kalape Avraham Avinu, who had many children besides his own children, right? Here by Noach, it was only Eila told us, Noach, these and nobody else, because Noach's ikur concentration was avoida of himself and not on anybody else. Afal piken, the Torah says, B'schus Noach, Esra l'kim is halach Noach. L'maisa, even though he was not working on other people, or Afal piken, Esra l'kim is halach Noach, and Mimele, he was zaychet to tackle to save the generation. Now, I'd like to be moiser just a little nekuda to that. That Rashi brings down, Yesh Merab Yisainu Dorshan Yisod Beshvach, V'yesh Dorshan Lignai. If he would have been in the door of Avraham Avinu, Lo Hoya Nechshav Liklum, he wouldn't have been considered anything. It's one thing if you would say he wouldn't be that choshev, but Lo Nechshav Liklum, that's a very stark loshev. And I think the pshat is, if you think about it, Noach, he was the head of the family. He was the head of humanity. All of the descendants after the Mabul came from him. They were his zera. So one would think on your own family, you have control on your einikloch, your ear einikloch. You know, you'd want to be mashpia on everybody. And yet, it says that they're not considered his children. And by Avraham Avinu was the opposite extreme. Avraham Avinu, the entire world was against him. Avraham Ha'ivri, Avraham Be'Eber Echad. They weren't his children. They were not related to him. They were totally against him. And he went out to be Makaris. Because they were mamish, the two opposite extremes on that. Afal Pikain, not to take away from the Yach, he worked on himself. So we just mentioned the Rashi. Yeshme Rabbi Seinu Dorshne said the Shvach. The question screams out, Me'elov, if it's shaykh to darshan l'shvach, why should we darshan l'gnai? Especially chachomim. You know, chachomim usually like to see the good points in people. They like to see good tzachim. They always say, oh, when I say this question, Rav Issa Zalman had a nephew who was also a Talmud Muvik, and he was Ben Bayez mind, he was Meshamashim, his name was Rav David Finkel. He was an Einikel of the Alta from Slobodka. And he was, he's unfortunately too young, they say, if he would have lived a regular life, he would have been from the Gedolei Hador. Because Rav Issa Zalman's Talmud, he was a Meshamash. And he knew that Rav Issa Zalman was going and hiding himself, his tzidkis. And he was also had a good sense of humor. So he used to like and schlep out from Rav Issa Zalman, why the uncle do this and why the uncle do that. So one Chalamayit, Rabbi Zalman, he asks him, David, could I borrow a pen? A pen? The uncle writes Chalamayit, the uncle writes Chalamayit. He says, please, David, please, it's an emergency. Emergency? What's the emergency? Maybe I can help. Please, David, it's Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh? God, Solomon. So he says, David, please. And he had to be mazmit in what the Indian was. He says, people come to visit me on Chalamayit. Some come to be mechabed me, Kabbalah's point harav, some people come to ask gates, some people come to speak and learning, and so on. He says, I have a very big chesaron. I'm able to look at a person for a minute or two, and I can tell right away what his chesaronis are. So I ask you, David, is that right? That I should see somebody's chesaronis? They're coming to be mechabed me, and I look at their chesaronis. I say, Pasha, it's pekuch nefesh for me. I have to write down on a piece of paper, posik. when your eyes look at someone else, focus your eyelids on your eigen chesroinus. Don't look at size. I want that to remind me of that. I shouldn't see somebody's chesroinus. Shalom Shvadron, years later, he was, Mrs. Alma's Einikel took over his house. So he once said over this mice and the Einikel, when the Einikel was there, so the Rebbetzin of this Einikel, says, oi, he says, you just answered a mystery to me. She goes into the kitchen, she takes out a sugar bowl that had this card pasted on it. I had no idea what this was, I was gonna throw it out. But this used to be in front of Rebbe Zalman the whole time. You know, he shouldn't see Yenim's Chesroinus. Gedolim don't like to see Yenim's Chesroinus. So what's the pshat over here? Yeshmei Rabbi Seinu Dorshin Lignai. Why would they find the Chesaron? So there's what I think is the simple pshat, and there's a pshat that the Chofetz Chaim says for Divrei Chizuk. The simple pshat is because the Pesukim are Meichiach like those Yesh Dorshin Lignai. One after the other. Number one. Eser Elohim is Halach Noyach Zot Rashi. What's Eser Elohim? Noyach needed Hashem to hold his hand. Not so by Avraham Avinu. By Avraham, it says, Asher is Halachti Lefonov. I walked before him. Avraham Avinu was able to walk on his own. I didn't have to hold his hand. By Noyach, it says, Eser Elohim is Halach. He walked with Hashem by his side. I had to support him always and so on. Next, Noyach came into the table, Mipnei Mehamabu. Noach mikatne amonahoy zok rashi. Maimin veina maimin. Right? So again, you see the Torah's moran is to a chesaron. And then again, the maaser with Noach planting a vineyard. Vayizgal al v'seicha holoi. Keseder, the Torah's telling us this. So there's a very good reason why Yesh Merabi Seinu Dorshin l'gnai. But the question is, why does the Torah point out his gnai? And the answer is, because the Torah is answering to us a big question. We know that Sefer Bereishis is a sifting process. Bishvil Yisrael Shenikru Reishis. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu come to determining who Klal Yisrael was? It was a sifting process. Rashi Vayeshev says, Adam had three sons. He sifted out Cain and Hevel, Shais. Out of all of Shais' descendants, it was Noach. Out of all of Noach's descendants, it was Avram. Avram had Yitzchak and Yishmael. Yishmael out the door. Yitzchak and Yaakov, and so on. So why are we not miyuchas to Noach? Why is Noach not the first yid? We're not called Bnei Noach Lehepach. You know, he calls someone a Ben Noach a little. We've been Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Why are we not Bnei Noach? That's why the Torah is megalotos over here. In order to be a Ben Yisrael, in order to come to Klal Yisrael, you have to be totally refined. That started with Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu started the 2,000 years of the world of Torah. Until him, it was Tayu. He started the 2,000 years of Torah, so Klal Yisrael starts with Avraham Avinu. And that's why Yesh Dorshin L'gnai. You know, because it's a nice amuchach from the Pesukim. That's simple pshat. But the Chofetz Chaim says, a moedik and moedik yivart of chizuk over here. We generally, we say, who are we in this generation? We're living in a lowly generation. How can we compare to the previous generations? And Chazal say, Mirushanim Kimalokam, Anu Kneyodam, Mirushanim Kneyodam, Anu Kechamorim, not Stam, Anu Kechamorim, but like Chamorim, so Pinchas Ben Yodam. So he says, Mamish, a person could be Miyayish when he thinks about that, but we're nobody. Dr. Chofetz Chaim, the exact opposite is true. You see from Noach over here, from the Yesh Dorshin Lignai. If he would have lived in the generation of Avraham Avinu, he wouldn't have been nechshav l'klum. Afal pikein, the Torah says, ish tzadik tamim hoya b'dayreisav. Hashem does not measure us l'fi other generations. Hashem measures us l'fi the generation that we're in. Other generations, the whole svivu was a different svivu. The whole avirah was of kedusha v'tahara. So v'shteitzich, it's understood that it has to be better there, right? But we that are living in a Tamidika land with a Tamidika Sviva, if we keep the basics of Hashem and we try our hardest, we're considered great. But not only that, Zok the Chofetz Chaim, we're greater than previous generations. What a person does a little bit in this generation is equal to much greater things in previous generations. And he quoted something that's brought down in the Kisrei Rav Chaim Vital, a Dover Nifla. Rav Chaim Vital once asked his Rebbe, the Arizal, he says, Rebbe, he told me that my neshama is like a heichen neshama, like who knows when, like hasn't been found in a long time. How's that possible? We don't compare anything to the Rishonim, to the Haroim, to the Tanoim. We don't begin to compare. So how do you say that I have a Sazami Haichin Neshama? So Arizal said you should know that we could be much greater than previous generations. In previous generations, the Avir was full of Kedusha V'Tahara. But now that there's a Klipas Hatumet all around, so even though we're doing less than what they did, but the less amount that we do is greater than what they accomplished. Now you make a cheshbin. The Arizal said this in the 1500s. The 1500s. I could be mayin that from the time I was a little kid till now, it's a different planet. When I was a little kid, by the going, there was sneers, there was mamish, there was a shayin. It was a totally different avirah. So imagine the 1500s. And there he said there was a klipas hatumah. So what are we supposed to say today? So we can maintain Zdorim Alimud and a little bit of kavona by davening, you know, which is a difficult thing you have to battle with. I'll tell you something else that Rav Shach said in Dover Nifla. There was a couple that came to Rav Shach with a problem with their son. Everybody should have such problems. Problem with their son. His son's a big mass, and he doesn't want to sleep. He doesn't want to go to sleep. You know, he wants to learn to all hours of the night, and they're begging him, watch your health, whatever. So Rav Shach says, send him to me, I'll speak to him. So the bacher comes to Rav Shach. Rav Shach says, well, says with the sleep, you know, you have to take care of yourself, and you have to have koichas to learn, and you can't get sick. So the bacher said, and he said, no earnestness. They said under Rosh Hashiva that when he was a bacher, you know, he didn't sleep. You know, he slept maybe 2 hours, 3 hours a night. So why is the Rosh Hashiva telling me that I should go to sleep? You know what Rav Shach said? Rav Shach said that when I was young, the world was a lot more menuchadik. It was much poorer and it was much more primitive, but it was a lot more b'menucha. And therefore, people did not have to preserve their koichas as much. The world today is ungezeichen. It's a pressure cooker. And if a person does not watch his health, he's not careful with himself, then you know, he won't be able to survive. So, Marshal Kavanah by Davin, the world today is not a pressure cooker. Even without tzaras outside in the world, a person's schedule, he's pulled in all directions. He has to make panosa, and he has to take care of his family, and he has to go shopping, and he has to take care of this. There's so many tzrachim to take care of. So to settle down during Davin. So even if we have less kavanah than previous generations of our Kodesh Baruch Hu's machshav everything. Chofetz Chaim said also a maisa about this also. Because we have to hit home on this yisayit, how great we really are. You know, we forget that. Chofetz Chaim said that a baker once came to him. He was complaining, "Oh, Rebbe, panos is so hard. I work a whole night. I bake a whole night. Then comes the next day, the customers come. This is overbaked. This is underbaked. This is too big. This is too small." There were all kinds of complaints. I'm left with a lot of extra stuff, and I can't make it panos. Chofetz Chaim gave him a bracha, whatever. During World War I, the Chofetz Chaim encountered this yid. She says, "How's Panosa going?" "Oh, Rebbe, it's not shayach. It's not shayach. It's mamish through the roof." She says, "I don't understand." He says, "During times of peace, you told me that you're not making ends meet. And during a melchana, you know, now everything is good." She says, "Why doesn't the Rebbe understand? In times of peace, people could be picky. You know, I don't like this, I don't like that. In a time of melchama, where everybody's worried, where am I going to get food from? They mamish, they chop everything else. When times were peaceful, when previous dairis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could afford to be picky. It's with kavana, it's not so much kavana. But nowadays, when the Yirei Shamayim have become less and less, and the ruchas on the outside are much more difficult, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes whatever he can get." He used to be Mayrach on this topic, you know, and also the question, if the previous Doris couldn't bring Mashiach, so how could we bring Mashiach? Same answer. In certain ways, first of all, number one, it's not one generation that brings Mashiach, it's the total of all the generations together. So Adarabba, we have a better chance. because we have all of those daivas behind us. But besides that, we're talking to him of things that they didn't do for previous generations. Das ist gesagt, der Chofetz Chaim.
Take for yourself from every meichel that shall be eaten. It should be for you and for them to eat. So Rav Shimon Sofer, Sam Sofer's son, the Sofer Michtav Sofer, asks a question. What should I be? It mentions Noach before the behemoth. We know the halacha. You're not allowed to eat until you first gave your behemoth to eat. So why over here, it's a Gemara Mishnah, this bracha is daf mem. So why does it say over here, v'hoyo l'cho v'lohem l'ochla? Dr. Shimon Sofer says, Ketavi v'kodesh l'bracha. He says like this. He says, the reason why it's supposed to be magdim, the meichel for behemoth before Adam, is al pi what the Gemara says in Bereishis Rabbah, on the pasuk Adam u'behema toshiya Hashem. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Adam does not live up to what he's supposed to do, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives mizaynus to the Adam b'schus to behema. Adam u'behema toshiya Hashem. Together with the behema, he helps them. He's nizan b'schus to behema. So I say, make a thing, you have to give the behema first. If you're only nizan b'schus to behema, so you have to give the behema first. Right? But that's by medvarim amurim. When is this said by regular people that are not anything special in their avodah? So if they eat b'schus to behemoth, you have to give the behemoth first. But over here, that all the behemoths and the chayas were saved only b'schus noyach, and they're only eating b'schus noyach. So over here, it gives the maicholim of noyach before the maicholim of the behemoth. As I am for Rishim and Seifer. So he adds to this, even though he was not a chosid, he was far from being a chosid. He says, Ulai b'shul zeh, they're noyig to eat shirayim from the achila of itself. To show that we are only eating b'shusim, kol oylam ein nizim elu b'shul chanina b'ni. So to show that we are nizim b'shus to tzadik, that's where shirayim come from. Those are Rav Shimon Sofer. In a different sefer I saw brought down, also from Rav Shimon Sofer. Shimon Sofer once asked the halakha of Rechayim, what's the meaning of shirayim? You know, the Hasidim grabbed Shirayim from a Rebbe. What's the Indian of Shirayim? There was once a Talmud from Rav Aaron, a Lakewood Talmud. He was by the Satmar Rebbe for a tish. They were giving out Shirayim. See, like, you know, you didn't want. You know, so the Gabbai was like looking at him. So the Satmar Rebbe said, "Dias Shem Chusik Kaimel Mizan." He said, like, jokingly. She told it to Rav Aaron. Rav Aaron should have said, oh, man. A different time, there was a bacher, also a litvisha that was by the Satmar Rebbe. They were giving out shirayim of liver. You know, so the people were taking with their hands. So the gabbai gives them, no. So the gabbai threw it at him. So Satmar Rebbe said, kalabarech min ha-covid. Had a very good sense of humor. But anyway, so Rav Shimon Sofer asked the Rav Chaim, what's the meaning of shirayim? So he said, it's alpi in Arizal. It says, lo yal alechem levada yichye ha'odam, ki al kol moitzei pi Hashem yichye ha'odam. He says, food has a lot of psilis in it. And food also can only nurture the goof, it can't nurture the neshama. So what nurtures the neshama? In every physical food, there's the word of Hashem that created it. So a tzaddik that makes a bracha b'kavon and a tzaddik that eats l'shem shamayim, he's able to take out of the food the good part, and memelu the food carries with it bracha. Once he's mesachin that food, it carries with it bracha. So the food that the tzaddik gives to others carries with it bracha. That's why people want to take the food of a tzaddik as tikkun. It's what they call the netzaitis hakdoshim, but that's really al pi the Arizal. So Shimon Sofer said, "I bazoi." So now I understand the teretz to Akasha. How is it shayach for Noach to have put in enough food for all the animals? He had all the species of animals with all the birds, with all the bugs and the creeping things. Where was he able to fit in the teva? I mean, it was pretty large, but it was nowhere near what you needed. So the Ramban really shtels the chan, and the Ramban says it was a nice miyat marzik es amaruba. Dr. Shimon Sofer, according to this, is very good. And that's why it says over here,
Noach ate from it first. And Mimele, he put a koyach into it that it's able to nurture, so even a little bit is able to satisfy. So the behemoth didn't really have to eat a lot in order to be satisfied. That's how he was able to store enough food. I saw a very nice shtickle from Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, Shlita. A bacher asked Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein the following shayla. He says, he was learning in Eretz Yisrael, and his family, it wasn't his parents, it was uncles, aunts, whatever, they came from Chutz Lareth and they were staying in a hotel. So he went to visit them. So they saved him a big portion of geshmak and food, fish, with meat, with cold mine salads and all that. Remember Yeshiva Bachar's honor? So he comes and they offer him the food. He went out from a Yeshiva Bachar and he says, I can't eat it. So wasn't this the Hechsher? What do you mean? A mashgiach tamidi? What's the problem? He said, no, it's not that. I didn't pay for this. I'm not staying at the hotel. He says, you're staying at the hotel. I didn't pay for it. I'm not allowed to eat it. Wow, what are you talking about? Big London yeshiva bacher. Instead, we have a migu. We could have eaten it ourselves. You can eat all you want, right? So instead of our eating it, we're giving it to you. You know, he felt guilty about it. So they told me, listen, we're throwing it into the garbage. It's going to be baltashkas. Right? We're not eating it. We have plenty. We can eat the next meal. They're going to give us plenty to eat. So we're going to throw in the garbage anyway. So it's going to be about that. So he might as well eat. So the Bacha thought about it. Okay, fine. So he finally gave in. And he ate it. Afterwards, he felt very guilty. So he went and asked Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, the Shaila, what should he do? Did he do the right thing? It's going to be about Tashkis. So Yitzchak Zilberstein said he should pay the hotel for the meal that he ate. He says, Favos. He says, until the person eats it, as long as it's not yet thrown in the garbage, it belongs to the hotel. The hotel gives it to people that are there to eat, right? It's going to end up getting thrown out anyway, but Kolzman, it was not, if you would have pulled it out of the garbage after it was thrown out, it was Hefka already, it was Hefka, whatever it was. But Kolzman, it was not thrown into the garbage, it belongs to the hotel, you should pay them. And he brought a riot from this week's parish, this posik over here. Take from your own. So the Kliyokar asks a question. It sounds like by a lulav, lachachtem lochem. You have to take your own. Now, what does it mean over here, take your own? So Kliyokar, you're not allowed to take from anybody else. You would have thought, since they're all dying anyway, so the food is going to get wasted anyway, so then you're allowed to take it already from somebody else. Kamash malon, that even though it's going to waste, as long as they are still alive, it belongs to them. You're not allowed to take from them. See, here also the same thing. As long as it wasn't thrown out, it belongs to the hotel and you have to pay. It's also an interesting kliyaka. Something happened in this week's parasha that he is saying for world history and Kal Vachayim Jewish history. And that was the mice of the Dor HaFlogit, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu spread them out to the seven. He spread them all the way out, and he turned them into 70 different lashanis. This is a pasuk: Zechariah Ma'isaylam and Hazinu, Binu Shnois Dor V'Dor, Sha'al Avichav Yagedcho Zekeinecho V'Yayim Mulach, Bahanchel El Yungayim Ba'afidoi Bnei Adam, Yatzei Vulois Amim V'Misper Bnei Yisrael. So Rashi says, Klal Yisrael has 70 nefashis that went down to Mitzrayim. The nations of the world are 70. 70 kalape 70. So my shver in his sefer asks a question. Hazinu is Zechariah Ma'isaylam, is Jewish history or world history in 43 psukim. If that's possible to write world history in 43 psukim. So you would think that you only get in there the most important facts shayach. So 70 nefashis, 70 nations, like why is that of such importance that has to be included in the 43 psukim of Jewish history? So he said it's the Yisoyin Godel Ad Ma'id. And that is the number 70 represents Shlemus. 70 Sanhedrin represents the Shlemus that every possible angle was examined. Every single person has a different way of looking at things. Everybody offered his own opinion. It's at his angle. Ayin Panamu HaTayra, the 70 faces of Tayra. The number 70 itself is 7 and 10. 7 is Shleimus, the Bria, was created in 7, and 10 is a minion, that's Shleimus, upon which the Shechinah rests. So the number itself is Meira on Shleimus. The world, Adam HaRishon, was a Shalim, but because of the Chatam of Ne'orim, they were split into 70 different Chalakim. There's only one nation that maintains all 70 Chalakim in one, and that's Klal Yisrael. 70 Nefarshis connected to 70 Umis HaOilam, and that was a cause of jealousy of the Umis HaOilam. That's why, one of the reasons why they hate us. Because they know that we believe that we have the 70 Koichas all in one. And they're only the 70th. And Mimela, that causes a tremendous jealousy and a tremendous sinner. And that's what Hazinu is all about. We were in Golis and we suffered at the hands of the Goyim and those things. It was a cause of terrible, terrible, you know, tzaras for us. We know that they're only a 70th of us. They're split into 70 parts. And we have all 70 kaychas in one. That should give us chizuk, that we're able to stand up to the world. Yatzer v'ulis amim l'mispr b'nei Yisrael. We include all 70 kaychas all within ourselves. And even though the entire world is against us, afal pikein, we have the kaych to overcome, you know, those 70 different singular nations of the world. We should talk to be zoichai tonight. I said in the shmooze, we should be zoichai to noyach lech lecha v'yeira chayisara. Noyach menuchas ha-nefesh. Lech lecha when we go to Eretz Yisrael. V'yeira his galus ha-shchina and chayisara. Chayisara is a life of srara, of ruling over the nations of the world. Yad ber amim tachtenu l'umim tachas radlenu. We should be zoichai b'karev. The Mashiach Tzitkenu, the Meher of Yameinu, Amen.
Amen. Amen.